Good evening.
Radio.
Good evening. It is evening in northern Minnesota. It's still afternoon in Southern California. John Yoder will be starting the show in a few minutes, maybe 1 minute, maybe two. Well, strangely enough, I was almost late for my own show. Part of it had to do with the fact that I got a letter at the close of the end of the business day and I couldn't solve a problem. It's really frustrating when that happens. Like, sometimes it could be a bill that might be cut off, like your cable, and you find out at 6 o'clock at night. In that case, my cable company has 24-hour service. In this case, I don't know why John Yoder hasn't called in yet. He was supposed to call in a couple minutes. I don't want to do the show by myself. Needless to say, my audio isn't working. My co-host isn't here. John, call in, 323-642-1691. I've already had a really hectic day, and to top it off, I have to work a split shift tonight and work all day tomorrow. It's getting to be too much for me. I might have to pause this show for a minute to call somebody. The number to call is 323-642-1691. Why haven't you called in, Yoder? Let me refresh the page. Okay, I might have to refresh the page. John, just be patient if you're listening. Okay, and push one to talk. So anyways, today I got a letter just before this show started, and it wasn't what I wanted to hear. I want to do a federal job in the public schools with Minnesota Math Corps. And I didn't even get to the interview process. I only got through the application. I'm going back in the studio to see if John's coming on the air. I'm having a computer glitch. Okay, well, we're having technical difficulties. The only thing I can do now is I don't want to continue to talk. I'm going to open up the Google browser and see if I can get in on that, the Google browser. blogtalkradio.com. John, please stay on standby until we're able to initiate the show. Google works better for me than Internet Explorer. Perhaps I should do a show tonight on computer glitches. Waiting for the browser to open. John, you're in the room. Can you hear me?
All right. They let me in.
Yeah, you know, I think what happened is my browser didn't refresh, and I couldn't see your phone call, and I had to close out Internet Explorer and open Google.
You have
so
a
the
low
other
problem.
Thing is, remember, I'm in poverty, and I have no minutes till Thursday. And I did get your text, but I can't respond.
Wow. You're at
now,
the end of the cliff.
If anyone hears the beginning of this show, they're probably going to hang up. There was many blank spaces.
Yes. Such is life. It is dramatic. How are you?
I've had better days. We had a meeting today at work on retention, how to keep employees, And our company's been offering incentives, and still a lot of people only stay less than a year.
Really?
And, yeah, it might have something to do with we have difficult clients, but now they're deciding between a bonus and a raise. If you were an employee, would you rather get a bonus annually or biannually or just a flat raise?
I think the last 5 years, I don't even know what a raise or a bonus is. I think the last time I asked for a raise, they told me to bend over. So.
Even at SOS?
Even at the unmentionable place I used to work at. Hey, you know what? I think we missed the eye in the sky. Maybe that's what it is.
Why was the eye in the sky going to give us a raise?
No, but, you know, he was a master at the board, hiding behind the curtain, turning the wheels. And
this
well,
has nothing to do with the board. It has. It just has everything to do with like, having a crappy computer.
Well, let me test this. I just want to make sure. Let me just say the forbidden words, Justin Bieber. Do you have the Bieber fever?
I was actually going to load a picture of Justin Bieber with this little baby who had a terminal illness for this
really?
Show because I had saved it on my hard drive. He developed a friendship with a baby that had a terminal illness, and then the baby died. And
mercy.
Maybe I'll send you the picture, and you'll have a different perspective on Bieber.
Well, you know, that is a tragic situation, so I won't joke about that. You know, but he does have a new girlfriend he's going all over town with. But you kind of wonder. I think, you know, he has a tender heart that's been kind of overwhelmed with all the success. And if you look at his very beginnings, he was a humble guy, you know, a mama boy, clean cut, all this good stuff. And then success comes so fast, too easy. I mean, not that he didn't work at it. He hustled as a, you know, 9 or 10 year old kid or however old he was. He had a great demo. He shopped it on YouTube. They were, you know, it was really a one-man publicity tour with his mom, and he made it. But I just think just sometimes, you know, some people go their whole life and don't succeed. So if you succeed in your 30s or 40s, you're a little better prepared, hopefully, to deal with it. But when you get the world in your lap, you know, by the time you're 13 or 14, some people just aren't wired to handle that.
Well, that's true.
It was the Bieber fever. It overtook him.
What happened to Miley Cyrus?
Well, here's something to consider. And, of course, it happens to all the Disney kids. But basically, in general, you know, when God created the world, he put men on the planet to work in the garden, to take care of stuff. So men are, we fix problems. And then women, he placed in the garden, and what do? They create problems. Not that it's bad, but when you have kids.
Excuse me?
As you know, when you have children, is your life less problems or more problems? You know, the first 10 years, you know. Every day it's diapers and clean a mess, right? It's tell, you know, the kid broke this.
Yeah,
and,
but women
you know.
Are watching those gnarly kids, whether they're a boy or a girl. So
yes.
How could women be the problem?
Well, the point is they're creating all this stuff. It's a creative process, and creation is messy. And men don't really create stuff. I mean, here's what I'm saying. Men build things. Women build people. So we're busy working on, you know, cars and radios and satellites and planes. Women can do that, but we can't create people. You know, and that, you know, what's the most valuable thing? I mean, the creation of life. It's incredible. So the point of what I'm saying is Miley had her dad involved, and he helped build that empire with Disney. And she got to a point, you know, when she could say no, probably 16 or 17. It's like, I'm in charge of my life. And she basically, from a business point, gave the finger to her dad. It's like, and Disney and everyone else, I'm going to do it my way. And you could see the effects of this. I mean, she just does not have mentorship at an adult level.
Well, she still is popular. That not the Wrecking Ball song, but that We Can't Stop had a million hits on the first day.
Right. Which, I mean, you think about it, what's her theme? Wrecking Ball, right? I mean, it's a whole self-destructive tour of, you know, just, it's almost like a live sex show trying to shock. I mean, even bringing, was it one of the presidents? I'm trying to think, was it Clinton or one of them anyway? But they had an impersonator of a president up there, you know, having sex. And just crazy stuff. It's nothing new. You know, it's as old as Jim Morrison or Woodstock or anything else. It's just people going, looking for sexual freedom and freedom from authority.
I do think that Woodstock and Morrison had a little more depth. Now, I do think Miley Cyrus has a good voice. She's just channeling it the wrong way. But let's
not
go
a great
on to
voice,
a...
though.
I don't want the topic to be spirituality and then have our listeners have to listen about Justin Bieber and Miley Cyrus. So let's redirect this conversation. Tonight I got a rejection letter in the mail, and I didn't handle it well.
Uh-huh. What'd you do?
When I first moved here, I was an AmeriCorps volunteer, and I got $900 stipend a month, and I was a promise fellow in the high school. And after 4 months, I stopped serving because the high school team thought it was wrong of me to call a parent in Kentucky and ask that parent to pay more attention to his son.
Mm-hmm.
And I basically lost my job, but then later they reframed it.
Now, how long ago was this?
I started in August 2012.
Okay, so it's very recently.
Yeah, I started in August of 2012, and the job ended December 2012, but then I got a grant for $1,800 after my service because that was a chunk of what they owed me. They would have paid me $6,000 if I had worked the whole year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I applied for another AmeriCorps program up here in Minnesota recently, and they turned me down. They didn't even give me the interview, and I think someone from Minnesota Alliance for Youth badmouthed me.
It happens.
Well, you know, it's not fair. It's a federal program. I have 4 years under my belt of math tutoring, and I can't handle it.
I think we're in a world that's gone wild. It's a jungle, and you know, back in the old days, everyone wanted the Pepsi generation. We wanted this, like, everyone gather around, drink a bottle of Pepsi, smile, give a hug, you know, peace symbols, right? Everyone walking around giving the little V thing. And I think times have changed. It's like it's kill or be killed. It's almost like in the old days when you would box, if you hit someone in your boxing and they fall down, they have 10 seconds to get up. And the referee would put you to the other corner and wait for the other guy to clear his mind, stand up, and then off you go again. And then in the modern days, it's kind of like mixed martial arts. When someone punches you and you fall down, they keep punching. Like, no one stops. And they'll keep going till you're out. And I think life has become like that, which it's just cannibalistic. I had a friend last night call me up at 3 in the morning, you know, just crying and in tears and wanting to go on Zoloft. I have people all around me on, you know, Adderall, Zoloft, you know, medications. We become, instead of the Pepsi generation, we're the drug generation. And literally, it's insanity. Like, example, I have XP, Microsoft. I've had it for 10 years, no problems, know how to work it. What does Bill Gates do, like this April 15th? No more updates for XP. Why? Well, it's going to make my computer go out of date. Why? Because I have to go buy a new system, or at least try to ride this one out as long as I can. And
yeah,
it'll send me these
terrible
messages. It'll send these messages, oh, you need the latest updates. If you click on that stuff, you're downloading other things that are going to make your, you know, give you a virus or make your computer load up with all these programs that you can't handle, and it's going to blow it up. And it's like, you know, I'm innocent. You're innocent, right? You're just living your
life. I've had a problem, too, lately. I got an adware virus. It's called Acamade. And every time I change pages, an ad comes up and a new window pops up, and the window I want will take a few more minutes to open.
Have you ever gotten one of those, like even on, say, you know, you're checking your AOL or whatever mail you have, Hotmail or whatever, and it comes up, you get a note from your bank or from wherever, and it says, oh, we have a problem, you know, please contact us. And it's all official looking. You go, oh, you know, I better call, you know, Verizon or whoever, or Bank of America. And if you respond to it by email, all it is, it's a phony address and everything, and they're just trying to hook all your information, your passwords, your social security number, all this stuff. And I remember the first time I didn't respond to it. I just called Bank of America. I said, you know, you're telling me that I have a problem with my account. And they said, actually, we don't have a problem with your account. We wouldn't send it to you that way. I'm like, this is old, you know, it's old switch and bait here. It's just like the old switcheroo, you know. It's a con game, a shell game.
So you didn't have a problem with your bank account?
Not at all. No, and it's like, well, how can they have a website that has, you know, Bank of America or Wells Fargo or whatever it was? How can they have that? It's like, well, they created their own site with some little add-ons, and they got the name in there. Like, where's the government? Who's stopping? Like, can't they trace this? Like, this is like, you know, and from what I understand, if I steal something from the bank, it's a felony because you're robbing against the FDIC, the Federally Insured Deposit, you know, system. It's like, these people are robbing from me. You shouldn't, like, the FBI and the, you know, the government be after them? I guess not. It's almost like the days of Noah. Remember, the days of Noah, it got so bad, people were just killing each other in the streets. Sodom and Gomorrah, you couldn't walk down the street without, a stranger, without the men of the town coming up to try and sexually attack them. Like, we're not at that level yet.
Men were sexually attacking men?
Yeah, in fact, when Lot had the two angels visit him, the whole town came out, because this was like new people, and they said, Lot, bring these guys out. We want to get to know them. And when they said the word know them, it wasn't like shaking hands and watching a football game. They wanted to know
them
physically.
Yeah, I knew what it meant in the Bible.
Right, and so Lot's like, Lot, and think of this scenario. The whole town is outside his door. He's got two people that he knows are angels that have been sent here because God's going to destroy the city. And he tells them, listen, I have two daughters that are virgins. Like, you know, here they are. Leave these guys alone. I mean, talk about, that's crazy, right? Totally crazy. I would have been like, okay, you know, it's like, just everyone get a sword and fall on it. You know, I'm checking out. But the point is, the angels had to blind everyone and take Lot and his family and split. We know the story. Lot's wife looked back. They were told, don't look back for the town. But she missed her town. She liked whatever was in the town, you know, the glory of it. And she turned a pillar of salt. In that area, they've done excavation and found that, you know, basically the place got nuked, however you want to call it. It just fire and brimstone, it really happened. Crazy stuff.
Well, when I get rejected because someone badmouthed me and I really don't know the source,
right.
I can't go out and kill somebody in the street.
No, not productive. It wouldn't be good on your resume either.
I don't want to deal with this kind of crap at my age.
Right.
I don't even need that job, but I wanted the job. There's a difference. Wanting and needing.
Yes. I think, though, you're hustling to pay bills, just like me. I mean, I'm going to be dog sitting tonight.
Good for you.
My life's gone to the dogs.
Well, that's a good gig when you think about it.
Yeah, because at least, you know, the dog, you know, it's not like a kid where if you do something wrong, the kid will rat on you. Like the dog,
well,
you know.
Well, if the dog gets run over, that's your only downfall, so you better take good care of it.
Yes, keep on. Oh, that's the thing is like, listen, dog, whatever happens, do not die on me. That's not so
Does
much
the dog like you?
Oh, yeah. Well, we have a blast. I'm a cool.
Is it a little dog or a big dog?
A 5-month-old golden retriever. So it's probably about a 50-pound dog, and it'll probably gain another 20 or 30 pounds.
Yeah,
so
those are nice dogs. My neighbor had one growing up.
Oh, yeah, it's a beautiful dog. But it's one of those gigs where, you know, the owner is very obsessed with their animal. And I don't worry that much about the dog, but when I was taking care of birds for a neighbor, it's one of those things, you know, birds are fragile, where you just, every day, it's like, bird, Mr. Feathers, just don't choke on me. Don't die. You know, just 3 more days, and you go back home. Because you know how birds are. They're very fragile.
So are humans.
Yes. But you have to hang in there. One thing I advised my friend last night who was, you know, borderline just going crazy is, like, the kingdom of God's within you. You've got to have inner peace within yourself. No one can give it to you. It doesn't come from the outside. You look at Joseph, you know, he was moving up in society. He was working for the boss. The boss's wife wanted to sleep with him. He turned her down. He ran. She grabbed it, ripped his cloak from him, and he got sent to prison for a crime he didn't commit. He's in prison for several years. Two guys have these weird dreams. He interprets the dream from one of them. He says, you're going to die in 3 days. The other one is, you're going to go to the king's court. And he says, and when you do, remember me. And it all comes true. And the guy forgets about him. So he's sitting there, you know, a few years later, and you're thinking, what did I do wrong? You know, I did everything right. I did the right thing, and I'm being punished for it. And this guy, suddenly the Pharaoh has a, you know, bad dream, and he's telling everyone he's troubled. And the guy says, you know, now that you mention it, thinking back, there was this dude who used to, in fact, he told me how I was going to get this job. And you think about that, and then Joseph interprets the dream and becomes Pharaoh's right-hand man. But sometimes, you know, maybe you feel you're in prison. Maybe that's exactly where God wants you to be.
This is the prison I'm in. I moved up here for I'm not trying to focus on myself. In fact, the last 5 minutes I want to talk about this nutrition program that I got in the mail for the schools that Obama's wife is enforcing. But the prison I'm in is I came up here for a federal job. I served 4 months. I had to quit because of my diabetes was out of control because it was found out. Well, I don't want to go into all the medical details, but I had medical problems. I want to serve again. I put in my application. I'm overqualified for the job. I have a teaching license. There's few choices up here. There's few AmeriCorps programs. And my son wants to stay here till 2016. That's my prison. I can't apply all over the country. I don't have that luxury.
Yes. Well, consider this. I 2 days ago, I was working all night trying to do some billings and, you know, kind of trying to go to bed by 5 or 6. And Slick...
In the morning?
You know, and Slick, my musical brother, comes in around 6:30 because he works night shift and says, hey, bro, can you drop off my motorcycle and, you know, give me a ride back? And I'm like...
And you're exhausted?
I'm trying to, like... I'm trying to go to bed. I don't have any other way. I'm like, okay, we'll do it. That's it. You know, I'm like, I'm not going to sit and argue or waste energy. He's like, yes. And, you know, he's asking questions like, have you gotten any sleep at all? It's like, no. And everything I'm giving one-word answers, can you be ready to leave in 3 minutes? Yes. And so off we go, right? And how come? Because I know I'm going to get to bed at 8 or 9 in the morning, and it's like I have customers that call me at 8 or 9 in the morning, right? It's like my and then I got to go dog sit and leave at 3:30 or 4. My day is shot already. And
was
it's gonna
that
be
last night? That
the
happen?
Night before, yes. And I'm sitting in my car, or in his car, just, you know, and then he's off the motorcycle, and he's like trying 5 minutes to leave the keys with the, you know, under the door or whatever. And, you know, instead of blowing up and getting mad, I just sit there and it's like the universe has brought me here. I'm just responding as responsibly as I can. I can't alter this without creating a war or a bad environment.
He could have waited
like,
till the afternoon.
Could have. But the point is, then his whole system is messed up. And I mean, it's better to do it now, get it over with. But the bigger point is, no matter what the situation, I'm not going to lose control. I'm going to be the person I need to be and overcome it. You know, and think ahead, you know, get a couple steps ahead of the game and not just react, you know, in rage, but just really think through the situation. So I made it through, got a couple hours of sleep, you know, ran through the day, got through it all. And, you know, and here I have people calling me all upset and distressed, you know, who, like, in their world, all they have to do is sleep and have all their bills paid for. And they're stressed about life that they can't sleep. It's like, you can have everything paid for and taken care of and still be, right? Like, you look at Morrison, you look at Michael Jackson, you look at Whitney Houston.
Michael Jackson didn't have all his bills paid because he overspent.
Right, but and you go, how can you overspend, you know, if you have the biggest selling album of all time, if you have the Beatles catalog, if you have, you know, in other words, all you have to do is just stop spending. He would go out and spend, you know, a couple million dollars at a time. Crazy stuff.
He
silly
did
stuff.
That in Vegas a lot.
Right. So you didn't go, well, he
but
had
it caught
you know,
up with him. It caught up with him because, trust me, it did, okay?
Right. So you kind of get to the point, well, he had an addiction. True. It's like, well, guess what? Everyone has addictions. Everyone has problems. So the point is all the money, all the fame, all the success in the world couldn't protect him or Elvis or Whitney. And you just go down a whole long list of people. In other words, internally was the battle, not external. It was the internal battle.
Yeah, and we're going to go about 5 minutes over for our conclusion. So would you mind talking about 45 more seconds while I check my son's pizza?
Absolutely, and then after that, about at the top of the hour, I'm going to have to leave to Doggy Land, and you can wrap. But yeah, let me.
No, we're only going to go to like 3:30. We're going to go to 6:05. Do you have time to stay on the line 7 more minutes?
It's about a 25 minute gig to get there, depending on traffic. But yeah, probably a couple minutes after I'll go. So let me go ahead and cover for you.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to check the pizza.
Flip your pizza. So here's the deal. I talked about Jane a couple days ago, and that is if you don't think you're in a battle, you'll be the first casualty of the war. You know, if you're going through stuff right now with your family, your job, your health, whatever it is, realize scripturally, from a biblical sense, we're in spiritual warfare. That means there are things that you can't see, things beyond the physical that are going on, that it's a battle. It's a jungle. And if you go in there ignorantly just thinking, hey, everything's fine and wonderful, kind of like JFK, you're just driving along in the motorcade, you got Secret Service, you got FBI, you got the whole state of Texas behind you, you can find your life changing in literally 7 seconds. And that's when we can't put our trust in this world, in this environment, in the material things, because material things change instantly. It's a
and
spiritual battle.
The world's still hanging on to JFK.
Yeah.
He's long dead.
And we still can't figure out all the mystery, because the people who know the answers don't want us to know the answers.
It's just Flight 392. It's like the Bermuda Triangle. They still don't know if that plane landed in that part of the Indian Ocean. They don't have a darn clue.
And you start realizing there's so many mysteries in life, you just can't figure. I mean, look at these pyramids. You know, they were talking about it a couple of days ago in the news. How could they lift up these structures? these, you know, these, I don't know, some of them say 40 ton, others say 5 ton, whatever they weigh, they're really heavy, and they're put in precise, you know, astronomical, geometric, you know, situations. I mean, the precision is less than, you know, 1%. And they're perfectly clean cut edges, you know, like the tools. They've tried to do it with modern technology, and they can't. And it's not just you could go, well, the Egyptians came up with some kind of way. These pyramids are all over the place, you know, in Central America, South America, other parts of the world.
There are?
Yes.
The same kind of pyramids that are in Egypt.
Very similar as far as, like, super heavy, big structure thing. And some
are you
say,
talking
well,
about Machu Picchu?
Yes. And some are, of them are cut. They're not like poured cement, like, well, they just had forms and they poured it. No, these were like cut, and it's like, okay, you could roll. They were figured out, well, how do you slide it on sand? And some of them are saying you get the sand wet and it'll slide. Okay, but how do you get it to go up the pyramid? How do you get it to the top and put it in precision without all a bunch of damage? It's a mystery. It's something that you can't naturally explain with science. I mean, scientists can't figure it out with all our technology. Go figure. And it's like there's mysteries in life, and it's a crime scene. You have to come in there and try to figure the best case answer to these mysteries. You know, why do you succeed? Why do you fail? Why am I depressed? All, you know, doctors say just take a pill. Really? You know? Is that going to fix my problem? Like, yeah, just disconnect the wire that says that your engine's overheating. Just disconnect it, and the problem goes away. It's like, no, you're just disconnecting wires. That's all. The problem's still there. You know, the depression and the emotional angst that a person has, the unresolved relationships.
I do think some people have their fair share of trials, and I look around me in Duluth and I see people with crumpled up bodies at my work that are in wheelchairs and can't even sit straight.
Right.
And I feel much more fortunate. But I do feel like the last 2 years I've been on trial, some from my own undoing and some from persecution. And sometimes it's just too much for me as an individual, and I'll be honest.
Well, like I advised my friend last night, and that is this, is like you hold on to stress and worry and doubt and fear, it will crush you. And the hardest thing is the easiest thing. You have to let go. You can't hold on. Just try hold on to, you know, a 50-ton rock. It'll crush you. The smartest thing is step to the side and let it roll. And that means in your mind, letting go, not holding on, and trusting God. Now, I'm not saying, oh, just be ignorant. Not at all. I'm saying being fully aware of the situation and being as smart as you can, understand your best recourse is to let the rock roll and survive, live to see another day. The point is, you know, they say, well,
let the rock roll or let it rock and roll?
Well, whatever gets your rocks off. But the thing about it, you know, this person will say, well, I have this problem and this stress, and you don't understand. It's like we all face loss of everything, health, life, parents, everyone. There's no one, you know, you cut me, I bleed. There's no human being that you slice through with a razor, they don't bleed. You know, you smash your hand, it's going to break. There's no super people here. You know, we all eat, sleep, drink. We're all the same. Some people have a little more strength than others and talents, but we're all wired the same. So, you know, sometimes we try to excuse it. Well, I'm special. It's like, no, my parents died. I had a divorce. I have back health issues, pain every day. I lost a job, you know, career. It's like we all face these things. And it's how we
react. We're not in it alone.
No, Jane Hoffman.
I have a good support group through Gamblers Anonymous.
Nice. Yes. Stay
okay,
connected.
Well, you have to go sit a dog, and I have to go work a split shift, so we both have to sign off. I'm editing out the first part of the show, so it's smooth sailing.
Yes, I may have to go
everybody.
To... I may have to go to Dog Sitters Anonymous, so.
No, Dog Owners Anonymous.
Yes.
I hope
okay.
She doesn't listen to your podcast.
Oh, no, we're good. Because, again, what I've talked about is just generic information. I'm not.
I know. I'm joking. Okay, maybe next time I'll let you be at the switchboard. How's that?
Oh, boy, that'll be a show.
I have to go rescue the pizza. Ciao.
Okay. We will see you later, Janessa.
Bye, Jo-Yo. J-Yo. J-Yo.
See you, J-Ham.
J-Lo. Jane and Lauren.
Hufflewaffle-awfulist.
Bye.
Rock and roll.